Okay, tonight we're going to study a little bit of a, I guess, a strange chapter in Jewish history. In the midst of this, last week we completed what we called the revolt of Yehu, who came, who took over the northern kingdom and destroyed the family of Omri, the family of Ahab, Ahab the son of Omri, the house of Omri, the house of Ahab, as had been predicted by Eliyahu. And at great length, we saw how it all, the fulfillment of all those prophecies, and how Yehu plays the, so to speak, political embodiment of Eliyahu and the destruction that came with that. Tonight, we're going to see the, so to speak, last chapter of that, but not specifically with Yehu, but with Ataliah, which is a very strange story, and we'll take a look at it. Not strange, I'm saying, but just kind of, it kind of sticks out. I want to go through the story. I don't have a lot of, as we would say, chidushim. I don't have a lot of new insights. The text is both ambiguous and clear. It's one of those weird ambivalent texts. It both says, it says what it kind of straightforward. On the other hand, there are things which are unclear, which we don't really have an answer to. And it's not so simple, and we can raise some possibilities, but you don't have the same, again, I don't think we have the absolute answers and clarity that we might want to have. Okay, so let me get my chumash up, get my mechon mamre, get that up. And we can start. So we are turning to, I believe it's chapter 11 in the book of Kings 2 of Malachim Bet. Let's see. Let's get it going. Perek Yud Aleph. Yeah. So, but we need to go back a little bit so that we, again, it's very confusing, all the names and everything that's going on. So because it's so confusing, we need to, at least for me also, we need to put it back into perspective. Okay, so first of all, just also again, okay, so again, just to put the proper perspective, I think we need to go back to chapter 8. At the end of chapter 8, where we're given a little bit of the chronology. The end of chapter 8, so the Bible tells us, Ubishnat Chamesh LeYoram ben Achav. So there was a Yoram, the son of Achav, Melech Yisrael, V'Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda, Malach Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda. So there's a Yoram in the north, who is the son of Achav, and there's a Yehoram in the south who is the son of Yehoshaphat. Ben 32 shana haya b'malcho, 8 shanim malach b'Yerushalayim. And unfortunately, this Yehoram ben Shaphat, who represents on some level the joining together with the north and the south, vayelech b'derech malchei Yisrael kasher asu beit Achav, ki bat Achav hayta lo li'isha, vaya sara b'nei Hashem. So he married the daughter of Achav. So he married the daughter of Achav. And the Bible tells us that this Yoram, eventually this Yoram character, okay? So there's Yehoram of Yehuda and there's Yoram. Eventually, the Bible tells us, Vayavor Yoram Tzir v'chol arech, Vayhu kam balai, Vayakeh et Edom asovev, etc., etc. So we have Yehoram, who's up in the north, and in the next pasuk he's called Yoram, which makes it more complicated. But once Yoram the Judean is dead, he doesn't have to be called Yehoram anymore. He can just be called Yoram. So Bishnat Shtai, Shneimas Reshana LeYoram Ben Achav Melech Yisrael, Malach Achaziahu Ben Yehoram Melech Yehuda. So we have Yoram and Achaziah. Yoram is the king of Israel, and Achaziah is the king of Judah. Ben Esrim V'Shtaim Shana, Achaziah Malcho, etc., etc. V'Shem Imo Ataliahu, Bat Omri Melech Yisrael. So his mother was the daughter of Omri, which would make her the sister or half-sister of Achav. So in terms of getting our people down, again, if you want to keep a scorecard, it's good to put this down so that we don't get too confused. So you have Achaziah is the, or Achaziahu. Achaziahu is the king of Judah. At the same time that Yoram is the king of Israel, and the mama bear of our good friend Achaziah is Ataliahu, Bat Omri, Melech Yisrael. Okay? And that is what we find out. And this Achaziah character, we find out, Vayelech B'derach Beit Achav, Vayasar Rabbi Hashem Ke Beit Achav, Ki Chatan Beit Achav Hu. He was a Chatan to Beit Achav. He had married into the Beit Achav. Okay? Okay? And that is the situation. So we have here the ties, the very strong ties between the Beit Achav and the Beit Yehuda. The northern tribes and the southern tribes are deeply connected, which also means that religiously they're deeply connected. And the Bible tells us that they went to war together. Vayelech et Yoram ben Achav lo milchamaim Chazael melech Aram b'ramot Gilad vayaku Aramim et Yoram vayashav Yoram ha-melech lehitrape b'Yisrael v'achaziyahu etc. yarad lirot et Yoram ben Achav b'Yisrael. So this is what we know from chapter 8. Chapter 9 describes, as we studied last or 2 weeks ago, chapter 9 describes the anointing of Yehu and the murder of Yoram, the murder of this king by Yehu. And he comes, Vayirkav Yehu Vayelech Yisraela Ki Yoram Shochev Shama Vachaziahu Melech Yehuda Yarad Lirot Et Yoram, and he kills Yoram. And as it says here, as he's running away, and he tells Achaziahu, Mirma, Mirma, it's a trap, it's a falsehood. He kills Yoram, and then he kills Achaziah. Vayirdof acharav Yehu, vayomer gam oto hikul ha-merkava v'malegur, vayanas migido. But he's taken back and buried in Ir David. Okay? So we have here this reality. Then the death of Izebel. She's pushed out the window. And after that, of course, in chapter 10, which is what we studied last week, was the killing of all the rest of the children of Achav. Ulachav shivim banim b'shomron. Vayichtav Yehu Sfarim Vayishlach Shomron, and of course you have the killing of these guys. So you have the killing of all these guys, and then finally we have the killing. V'Yehu Matza Et Achei Achaziahu Melech Yehuda Vayomer Miatem Vayomru Achei Achaziahu Anachnu Vanered Lishlom Bnei Hamelech UBnei Hagvira. And they kill those people. So basically, the children of Achav have all been killed. The children of the brothers, Achaz, so Yoram, the main child of Ahab, who was king, was killed, and all his brothers. Ahaziah was killed, and now all his brothers are killed also. And so basically there's nobody left. And then the second part of the chapter, which we studied last week, was the destruction of the Baal, destruction of the priests of the Baal. And that's where we ended. When we get to, so now when we start our perek, who's left standing? Who's left standing is this Ataliah. Now this Ataliah, what's she thinking? She is the mother of Ahaziah. She's also, again, one of the Tzetzaim, one of the descendants of Ahav, of Omri. She is, again, in the way that the Book of Kings presents it, she is a sister to Ahav. She is the daughter of Omri. She is in that situation. So she's kind of caught here at this situation, Ataliah. And at that point, she says, V'ataliah em chaziyah v'rata, kimet bina, v'atakam v'te'abed et kol zera hamam lacha. Very strange thing. She goes and kills out all the rest of the zera hamilucha. Now, it's unclear. I mean, why is she doing that? Why would she kill the zera hamamlacha, all of the children of the mamlacha? Now, and if you want to take a literal reading, and some mefarshim take it, she's literally killing maybe her own grandchildren or nephews or cousins. She's killing the zera hamamlacha. So is she like a psychopath? Why is she killing all these, all the offspring from the mamlacha? The text does not give us any explanation. And it uses a very strange language. If we take the word vate'abed, the word vate'abed is one of those, you know, very, you know, ambiguous phrases. Sometimes it means to kill, like in the Megillah, the Megillat Esther, right? Laharog, lahashmid, ulaabed, et kol hayehudim, to utterly destroy all the Yehudim. Is that what it means here? Vatakam vateabed et kol zera hamilucha, hamamlacha? Or does it mean that she decides to, you know, so to speak,
some other way?
It's a very unclear phrase. It's a strange phrase. Vatakam vateabed et kol zera hamamlacha. And again, how you translate it will affect probably what her motivation is. What's her motivation? Is her motivation she's power hungry and she doesn't want anybody else seeing that the children, Ahaziah is dead. All of his brothers are dead. All of his servants are dead. Does she not want anybody else to, she feels that she can come in and usurp the mamlacha? Is that her goal here? And therefore she cuts out zera mamlacha. Could zera mamlacha also not refer to her immediate children, but to all the others who were rivals? Very unclear. The text continues. Vatikach Yehosheva bat hamelech Yoram, achot Ahaziah et Yoash ben Ahaziah. So the Bible now tells us that Yehosheva took, who was the daughter of Yoram, Achot Ahaziahu. So she was the sister of Ahaziahu. She took her nephew, at Yoash ben Ahaziah, Vatignovoto mitoch bnei ha-melech ha-mumatim, she secretly saves him. Oto vet meinikto, bachadar ha-mitot, vayastiru oto mipnei ha-talya v'lo humas. She hides him in the Beit HaMikdash. Vayhi ita Beit HaShem mitchabei sheishanim, v'atalya molechet al ha-aretz. Here too, there's a lot of ambiguity here. To hide someone for 6 years, And Atalia is ruling for 6 years. She's ruling for 6 years. That's pretty striking. That means that she had support. To be able to rule for 6 years means that somebody politically, militarily, economically, you know, supported you. It means that you had certainly some support. Did they think that putting her in power or supporting her in power would somehow maybe restore connection with Phoenicia? Maybe, because again, remember, we know that Ahav married into Phoenicia and brought that relationship, which brought the Baal into Eretz Yisrael and then eventually into Yehuda. The fact that she doesn't know that the kid is being hidden in the Beit HaMikdash, does that itself tell you that she wasn't really interested in the Beit HaMikdash? Does it tell you that the Beit HaMikdash fell by the wayside because she turned once again after Yehu had destroyed the Baal all over the place? She tries to, so to speak, revive the cult of the Baal, and therefore the Beit HaMikdash doesn't interest her? Is that the way to read it? Again, as I said, it's very ambiguous, this entire presentation.
And she is the queen of Yehuda, not of Israel.
I said she's the queen of Yehuda, yeah. But she may want to, since she's from the house of Ahav, she may want to restore the relationship with Phoenicia that had been developed in the time of Ahav. But you're correct. Also, I do want to note carefully, she is never called Hamalka. Notice it's a very interesting term. We know the term Melech, king. No one in the Tkufa that we're talking about is called a Malka. In the ancient Near East, there were societies which had queens. But in the Torah and in the Nevi'im, women are never queens. She is molechet al ha'aretz. She's kind of the de facto ruler. The only time a woman is called a malka is, of course, Esther hamalka. But she's not ruling over Israel. She is the consort of Ahasuerush, and she clearly doesn't have all the power. If any power, the only power she has is to convince her husband through chicanery to come to a certain conclusion, manipulate her husband. But again, I just point out, again, as I said tonight, I don't have a lot of chidushim. I'm just pointing out certain anomalies and certain things. The fact that this kid is able to be hidden for 6 years says a lot. It says that she probably, you know, it says, number one, that she wasn't really interested in the Beis HaMikdash. She was probably, that wasn't her issue, either because, you know, the worship of the cult was not what she cared about, or because she created, once again, the Baal cult in her area, and that was important to her, not the Beis HaMikdash, as a separate Beit HaBaal, like we saw the Beit HaBaal in last week's Perek. At the same time, the fact that she's there for 6 years tells me that she had support among some people. Was she seen as the kind of last gasp of the Ahavites, those who supported the connections to Phoenicia, those who supported the Baal, those who supported the relationship between the house of Omri and Yehuda? I don't know. Somebody had a question they wanted to ask?
At the time of the Maccabim was one, yes, Malka, Shlom Tzion Malka.
That's why I
Thank
said
you.
That's why I said Tanakh. I said in Tanakh there are no Jewish queens except for Esther Hamalka in the time of the Persians. You're 100% correct. There are kings and there are queens after that. That's why that's Shlom Tzion Malka. And if anyone's ever walked in Jerusalem, you know, there's also, of course, later on, Heleni Hamalka and other queens that we know about. But in Tanakh, there are no women queens. Even she is never called a Malka. That is not a biblical phrase of, meaning biblical, I mean pre-Korban HaBayit. You find it in the Persian books, of course. Okay. Ubashana Shvi'it, Shalach Yehoyada. Who's this Yehoyada? We don't know. He just kind of shows up. But we're going to find out. Again, the Bible holds back a lot of information. We have Yehosheva, again, a theosophic name, Bat HaMelech. And is it interesting that her name is Yehosheva? Does she's supposed to remind us of Bat Sheva? And, you know, the Bat HaMelech, interesting. And she saves the child, which, of course, is a type scene that we've seen before in the book of, in the Tanakh, of the child who's hidden away, saved from massacre, saved from destruction in the story of Eli, of Ikavod, in other
Moshe,
stories.
Moshe Batzmo.
Moshe Batzmo, right? We have all these. This is kind of a trope here. Ubashana Shvit Shalach, verse 4. Shalach Yo Yada, Vayikach et Sarei HaMe'ot, LaKariv LaRatzim, VeYaveotam Elav. So clearly, though, there were people who were opposed to this move, because the people who hid this child, this Tinok, you know, who's probably a baby, right? Because he has a meineket, he has a wet nurse. So when he's hidden away, he's a baby, and now he's 7 years old. Shalach Yehuda vayikach et sarei ha'me'ot lakariv al haratzim vayaveh otam elav beit Hashem vayichrot lahem brit vayashba otam. Again, nice little play on words. Just like Batsheva has a lot of Shavua language in the story of, in the book of Kings, in Kings chapter 1 here too. Vayashba otam. So Yehoyada brings together his group of people, and they make a brit. Beveit Hashem vayarotam et ben HaMelech, the son of the king. A third of you who, again, these are the, what we would call the mishmarot, the different groups of Kohanim who had used to work in the Beit HaMikdash. So he calls together different groups. He calls together the Sarei HaMe'ot LaKariv LaRatzim, which are probably people, we would call them like the palace guard. Clearly there were some who were not so happy that this Ataliah is controlling the country in whatever direction she's going. And a third of you should be over here with me. A third should be in the gate of Sur. So you have to protect the bait from attack. Notice he's already called the Melech. Here he started Ben HaMelech, but he's kind of, this is the big reveal. He's revealed, again, he is the king. Now he's obviously a little boy, which means that he, the person who actually would be running the show would be Yehoyada and Yehosheva, Bat HaMelech. We don't know if at this, again, the Bible holds back information. We don't know. Are they related? Are they not related in any way? The text keeps our interest. From a literary point of view, it's great. Vayasu sarea me'ot k'chol asher tziva Yehoyada ha-kohen. All of a sudden, we find out, again, little trickles of information. We find out that he is a Kohen. So he was probably in the Beis HaMikdash. She was the one who was entrusted in the care of taking care of this kid for the last 6 years, or protecting or making sure that nothing happened. And Vayavo, and they say, V'kavtem el HaMelech ish v'cheilav biyado, V'abas derot yumat. Anybody who comes between the ranks should be killed. V'hiyu et HaMelech b'tzeito b'vo. They do exactly what he says. The group that comes each week, together with the group that was leaving, the mishmarot, there's hidden weapons in the Beis HaMikdash. Clearly, they prepared for this coup. Okay, there was clearly weapons that had been hidden away from the time of David. Now, of course, it's a wonderful thing because they're trying to reestablish the proper Davidic line. The proper Davidic line does not have Ataliah as queen. She is not the son of, you know, of David. She actually comes from the line of Achav, and probably, you know, reflects a Phoenician part of the line. They protect the king, they protect. And so they make a big moment. They make a big thing. Oh, interesting. Thank you. Okay. They make a big show, and Yechi HaMelech, which of course reminds us of the story of Shlomo HaMelech at the beginning of Melachim Aleph, at the beginning of Kings, that he is now called Yechi HaMelech, the king should live, the king should live. Vatishma Ataliyad kol haratzin ha'am, vatavol ha'am beit Hashem. She sees what's going on. Vatere v'inei HaMelech umed al amur kamishpat. He is sitting properly as it's supposed to be. Vasarim v'chatzotzot el ha'melech. V'chol ha'maretz sameach. And all the Amarets, remember in biblical times, the word Am Haaretz does not mean what it means today. Today it means the ignoramuses. In the biblical time, it meant the landed gentry, means the people with power. V'tokeh v'chatzotzrot, v'tikra ataliyat v'gadeh v'tomer, kesher, kesher. She said there is a kesher, there is kesher kasha, there is a conspiracy. V'yitzav yodat tzarei ha'meot, p'kudei achav, v'merlem hotziu otal mi'beit l'sderot, she should not be killed in the Beit Hashem. The Beit Hashem is not a place to spill blood. They put hands on her. And they go and they kill her. Once again, there's a covenant. Which I think proves what I said at the beginning. She had not been interested in the Beit HaMikdash. She probably had created a Beit HaBaal. Remember, in the previous chapter, we learned about how Yehu and Yonadav ben Rechev destroyed the Beit HaBaal in Israel. And here, there's a Beit HaBaal that exists in Yehuda. Vayavo kolamaretz beit habal vayitzu et mizbechotav vet slamav shibruetev, they destroyed vet matan kohen habal hargu lefnei hamizbechot vayasem hakohen pkudot al beit Hashem, etc. Vayikach et tzarei hameot vet hakari vet haratzim vet kolamaretz vayoridu et hamelech mibeit Hashem vayavo derech shar haratzim, they come vayeshev al kisei hamelachim vayismach kol am haaretz v'ha'ir shakata, and the city was calm. V'et al taliyah mitu b'cherev beit melech hamelch. So that is what's presented in the Book of Kings. And in the Book of Kings, as I said, what's not clear is exactly the motivation of Ataliah. I think between the lines, we certainly have the sense that, you know, she probably wanted to restore the Baal as a legitimate form of worship. Did she also have, you know, desire to connect back to, as I said, the northern kingdoms beyond Israel, meaning Phoenicia, and develop the relationship again, which had been developed by her parents, Achav and Izebel? Maybe her mother was Izebel, I'm not sure. Again, unclear. We're also unclear exactly who this Yehoyada guy was here, but he has some sort of relationship with this Yehosheva. Again, unclear in the text, but he clearly sets up a brit with the people. He restores the brit and he connects them and puts back the legitimate king. And so the Malchut Beit David is uninterrupted. What I want to do now is compare, like I said, there's not a lot to say here, but what I want to do now is compare this version to the version that we find in Divrei Hayamim. And again, it's interesting because we're going to see that there's slight differences. And again, we can talk about, you know, what these slight differences, what may they reflect? So let's take a look at the Book of Chronicles, and we can have theories. It may not be clear. Look at the Book of Chronicles. Obviously, Divrei Hayamim Bet, because as I said many times, Divrei Hayamim Aleph only gets us to the end of David's life, the beginning of Shlomo's life and reign. So any king post-David and Shlomo is always going to be in Divrei Hayamim Bet, starts with Shlomo, etc. So now let us go to chapter 22. Yeah. So the Bible, let's read a little bit. And again, just to notice some of the emphases and some of the differences that appear in the book of Divrei Hayamim. וימליכו יושבי ירושלים את החזיהו בנו הקטן תחתיו, כי כל יושבים הרג הגדוד, etc. וימלוך החזיה בן יורם מלך יהודה. בן 42 שנה, he was 42 years old, אחז במלכו ושנה אחת מלך ירושלים, ושם אמו עתליה בת עומרי. She was the daughter of עומרי. גם הוא הלך בדרכי בית אחיו, he also followed, כי אמו הייתה יועצתו להרשיע. Because his mother was very much wicked. Notice already a first little interesting thing. In the book of Kings, we don't have that phraseology. Ahaz follows in the ways of, Ahaz follows in the ways of his father, Ahav. But, it's not because of his mother. Here, already from the outset, she is Atalia bat Omri, and Imo haita ya'atsto leharshia. She very much was leharshia. She advised him and led him to become evil. Again, very interesting. It's Atalia in the book of Divrei Hayamim seems from the very outset to get a much more negative treatment. I'm not saying that in the book of Kings she's anywhere near a tzadekes, but here she certainly, from the very outset, she gets a much more negative portrayal. She was the one who raised Ahaziyahu to be a bedarchei beit achav, and she was laharshia. ויעשרה בני השם כבית אחיו, כי הם היו לו יועצים, אחרי מות אביו למשחית לו. גם בעצתם הלך, וילך את יורם בן אחיו מלך ישראל, למלחמה על חזאל. He joined up with Ahav against Hazael. And the story that he got, Yoram got hit, וישר להתרפא, כי המקים, etc., etc. And מאלוהים הייתה תבוסת אחזיהו לבוא, ובבואו יצא יורם אל יהו בן נמשי, השם שכו השם, and he's killed by יהו. And again, ויבקש את אחזיהו וילכדוהו, והוא מתחבא בשומרון, ויביאו אל יהו וימיתו, ויקראו השם, כי אמרו, בן יהושפט הוא אשר דרש השם, ואין לבית אחז לעצור כוח לממלכה. The Bible then continues, ועתליהו אם אחזיהו ראתה כי מת בנה, ותקם ותדבר את כל זרע הממלכה. ותדבר here does not mean she spoke to them. ותדבר is from the language of להדביר, like we say in the תפילה לשלום חיילי צהל. ידבר שונאינו תחתיהם. God should bring down, destroy the all of our enemies. Lahadbir in modern day Hebrew, when you hadbarat ha-chaydakim, when you call an exterminator because you have a lot of jukim in your house, so that's called hadbara. It's to get rid of all the jukim. So vatidaber is very straightforward. It means she got rid of all the zeram and luchal beit yuda. Vatikach Yehoshavat, which is a kind of later form of Yehosheva, Bat HaMelech et Yoash, Ben HaChazyahu, V'tignov oto mitoch b'nei HaMelech mu'ati, V'tein oto v'et mektov v'chidar mitoch, V'tasti rehu, Yehoshavat, Bat HaMelech Yoram, Eshet Yehudaya HaKohen. We find out here another piece of information. Yehoshavat is married to Yehuda HaKohen. We don't know that in... So she is the wife of Yehuda HaKohen. Ki hi haita achot HaChazyahu, Mipnei Ataliyahu v'lo him tahtu. Vayhi itam b'veit Elohim mitchabei sheish shanim, v'Ataliyah molechet al ha'aretz. So in the book of Divrei HaYamim, we have a much more, you know, negative, much more negative view that's presented of Ataliyah, much more negative view that's presented of Ataliyah. Later on, if I'm not mistaken, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gone so quickly. Later on, I think in the next perek, she's actually called. Let's go to here. Where is it? She's actually called Hamarsha'at, the real evil one. In I think it's in the next parak, one of the next prakim. Right, because we continue the story. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have stopped. Ubashana shvit itchazek yeho yadav ikach et tzarei ha'meot la'azaryahu ben Yerocham ul'Ishmael ben Yonatan la'azaryahu ben Obed. Notice it's much more specific. Babrit vayasov yudav vaykabtzu et ha'levi'im mikol harei yudav v'rashei avot li'Yisrael v'yavo l'Yerushalayim. So there's a lot of support amongst the Kohanim and the Levi'im. Again, maybe this is because Ataliyahu had abandoned the Beit HaMikdash and had basically made them, you know, basically useless. Vayichrot kol ha'kal brit b'veit Elokim im ha'melech v'yomer lehem hinei ben ha'melech yimloch kasher diber Hashem im b'nei David. And then you have the whole story. Zeh ha'davar asher ta'asu ha'shlishit mikem b'ayah Shabbat l'kohanim. Everyone should go to their different gates. Va'al yavo beit Hashem ki ma'kohanim ha'mishatim alavim heima yavo ki kodesh heima. V'chol am yishmeru mishmeret Hashem. V'kifu alavim et melech saviv. Everyone should. V'abal ha'bayit yumat. Protect the king. Clearly, the king, they feared that there would be a counter-revolution, and they're protecting the Yoresh Ha'etzer, they're protecting the king who would take over. And you have here, he gives out the weapons, Asher Lemelech David, Asher Beit Elohim, that were in the house of God. Vayamed et kol ha'am v'ish shilcho b'yado, etc. Vayotziu et ben ha'melech v'yitnu lav et ha'nezer v'et ha'idut, v'yemlichu oto, v'yimshichu yo yada u'bana v'yemru yuchi ha'melech. And the Bible tells us, again, just like in Malachim, v'tishma talyad kol ha'am ha'ratzim ha'malim et ha'melech, she comes, v'terev hinei ha'melech omeid al amudo b'mavo v'asorim v'chatzotzrot, and everybody's happy, and she tears her clothing. Vatomer kesher, kesher. There's kesher. There is. Vayotze yo yada hakohen etzer pikudei achavim hotziol mibeit asderot, and all of her entourage, and let her be killed. Vayosimu lo yadaim vatavol mavo shar ha susim, and the Bible tells us once again he destroys all of the Beit HaBaal. Vayasam Yehudaya, etc., etc. He sets up the Beit HaMikdash once again. Vayasam Yehuda Pkudot Beit Hashem B'yad HaKohanim Alevim Asher Chalak David Beit Hashem Lalot Olot Kakatu B'Torat Moshe, etc., etc. So this is, again, it's very similar. The only thing I would say, there's a slight difference in terms of the focus is much more on Ataliyah, the evilness of Ataliyah. So we have to summarize, when we ask ourselves the major question of what Ataliyah's motivation was, you can eat, number one, you can say that she was power hungry, or you could say that there was a political element, that she felt that she wanted to restore the Beit Omri in some way, and the influence of Beit Omri, and the connection to the Phoenicians, and or it could be that it was driven by religious reasons that she wanted to see and happen. Okay, we'll stop here. Next week, as I said, I'm going to be in Israel, and we'll pick up from there. I hope everyone is well. We are going to get soon, unfortunately, we're going to get to the destruction of the Northern Kingdom, the final destruction of the Northern Kingdom in the middle of the book of Malachim Bet, which will be a watershed event in terms of Jewish history. We're coming to it close soon, but we'll get to that in a few weeks. Okay, I wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. Wish everybody well this week.
Thank you, and a siyah tova.
Toda rabba. Toda rabba.